This CityWire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies, from healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution. Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Advice Show. From advising clients to practice management, this podcast will give UK and global insights into the financial planning profession.
I'm Zach, a reporter at New Model Advisor, and today we're talking about the mini budget. Joining me is Tom Selby, Head of Retirement Policy at AJ Bell. So thanks so much for joining me, Tom. Sorry we had some connection issues before, but all in good fun. First of all, can I just ask you very simply, you know, what was your initial response to the wide-ranging budget? And, you know, what does that mean for the UK economy?
So it was a surprising budget, I would say. I think from some people's perspective, probably quite a shocking budget. We had a maelstrom of announcements, some of which we had heard a bit about before, some of which were brand new and rabbits out of the hat, as it were. But we're looking across the piece, whether it's cutting income tax for highest earners, scrapping the national insurance rise, I think one of the fastest U-turns we've seen in government history, cutting stamp duty, boosting the incentives for people to invest in riskier things through EIS and SEIS. There's a huge swathe of things here that are aimed squarely at boosting economic growth. There's pretty clearly little worry for this government about appearing to be fair. So lots of the tax cuts are going to primarily affect the richest and benefit the richest. And Liz Truss has been very clear that that's going to be the case. But this government is pretty clearly squarely aiming to deliver economic growth and deliver economic growth as quickly as possible. Now, in terms of what the markets think of this and what this means for the economy, well, the markets haven't reacted particularly well, certainly in the short term. So the pound has slid. I think I've read various notes from different respected economic organisations. So Capital Economics, for example, suggesting that while this might have a small impact in terms of short term growth, when you're looking at long term growth, their projections are remaining broadly the same. You're also looking at a huge program of spending here. I mean, even when you're looking off the back of COVID and the furlough scheme, this is a truly colossal commitment to spending money on a permanent basis. And the big question, I suppose, coming out of this is whether this gamble can possibly pay off and deliver the 2.5% a year economic growth that the Chancellor says we need in order for it all to be worth it. And that question, I think, is going to be up in the air for the next few years. And of course, lurking in the background, we've got a very high inflation and creeping interest rates as well. And there's always the risk when you have an expansive package such as this that it will just stoke inflation, and that might lead to even higher interest rates than anticipated. And that's certainly something that Capital Economics and others are warning of.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly very dramatic. I was speaking to an advisor earlier today who told me that he thought that it was very much a budget for the next election, and that we weren't watching, you know, a chancellor give policies based on what they've seen and based on how they're going to manage things. It was really a lot of statements, really, and a lot of proclamations of. It certainly had to be dramatic in one way or the other. So we've certainly seen that. I mean, so you mentioned markets there, and of course, you know, they've well, the last I saw this morning, they'd fallen off a cliff pretty much as soon as Chancellor Kwasi-Kwarteng started talking. Just going in on a bit more on that, and what this might mean for investors moving forward. I mean, there are a lot of moving parts, but how do you see that playing out? In terms of what that would actually mean for investors talking to clients.
So if you're an investor, then what's happening in the UK economy shouldn't necessarily impact on the way your investments are performing or your portfolio construction or anything like that. So anyone who's got a good advisor helping them to make sensible investment decisions will have a portfolio that's diversified around the world, and there may be, you know, tactical tweaks here and there based on short-term announcements. But you would hope, one would hope that that anyone who's invested for the long term has got significant diversification in their portfolio. That means that if there are short-term fluctuations in, for example, sentiment towards the UK economy because of political decisions, that the impact of that should be relatively small. Now, there are individual decisions that have been taken in this. I mean, what are we calling it? Are we calling it a budget? Are we calling it a mini budget, a maxi budget, a fiscal event? Let's call it a budget because it is a budget, isn't it? There are individual tax decisions that will affect people's incentives to invest and ability to invest. But I would say most investors who are focused on the long term, which should be all investors, wouldn't be too perturbed about what ultimately are going to be short term market ructions in the UK.
Absolutely. And coming on to, you know, you mentioned in our first discussion that the stamp duty had been cut, and of course this is quite a timely mini budget or fiscal event or whatever, because of course, you know, it comes a day after the announcement from the Bank of England about interest rates and further rises, and of course, you know, that goes in terms of people's mortgages going up, and there also now seems to be a big incentive to, now with stamp duty being cut, to get on the property ladder. How do you see that the property market panning out, and are you concerned at all about rising interest rates?
So I suspect lots of people on flexible mortgages or people who are looking to buy will be concerned about rising interest rates. It's certainly the potential of moving from a world where base rate was essentially hovering somewhere around 0.25, 0.5% to a world where base rate might be 3-5% will be concerning, and for lots of people, interest rates at that level are simply something they've not experienced. If you know someone who got on the property ladder since the great financial crash, so since 2008, 2009, 2010, simply won't have experienced borrowing rates at that level, and so it's something that people need to prepare for and adjust to. Again, this is a kind of area where if you've got a good financial advisor helping you along, then you should be in a position where you're prepared for this. So a good advisor will model the possibility that your interest rates are going to go up by 3-5%, because actually historically it's not too high at all. I think the average interest rate between 1970 and today is somewhere in the region of 7%. It's just over this last period of 15-20 years we've seen artificially low interest rates, lower than you would certainly expect. So that is a concern, I think, for people, as I say, who haven't fixed their mortgages at a lower level. I think in terms of the wider property market, the concern whenever stamp duty is cut, and it's not the first time in recent years that we've seen a cut in stamp duty, is that all we'll see is an increase in the price of houses that people are going to buy. So I saw a mortgage broker tweeting just before we logged on, suggesting that they'd already seen a case where there was an offer for a property on the table, and the person who was selling had decided that they wanted more money for that property because they knew that the person buying was going to benefit from a stamp duty cut. And that's just, you know, that's economics, it's supply and demand, it's what you would expect to happen. So I'm sure this will stimulate activity in the housing market. But I guess if you're a young person looking to get on that housing market, then the thing you've got to be careful of is you don't just end up paying odds over the odds for the house that you're buying. You end up buying somewhere that you don't want, for example, and financially end up in exactly the same position as you were in before. So I think we've seen the housing market get stoked before. I suspect that's what we're going to see again. I'm not convinced that that's going to deliver any kind of productive economic growth for the UK economy beyond, of course, helping estate agents earn a commission.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I mean, I can certainly attest to the fact that in London, the rental market is you know, kind of overwhelming at the moment for renters. And I think a lot of landlords are figuring out, you know, the mortgages they've got and passing those judgments onto tenants. We're certainly seeing a lot of that. Sort of just moving on then to just one of the more surprising, I wouldn't say shocking, because I think the banker's bonus scrap was probably the most controversial and shocking. But the most surprising one, certainly from a journalist perspective, of wasn't what we were expecting, was the additional rate of top tier tax, over £150,000 being cut to 40% from 45%. Just in terms of economically, what do we think that will do? What do you think that will do for people on those incomes? And do you think you'll see the money somewhere else, into investments perhaps?
So it'll be interesting to see exactly what additional rate taxpayers do with this huge bonus that's been going to be handed to them by the Chancellor. So yes, you're right. It's the wealthiest in the country. So those earn over £150,000 are going to see a 5 percentage point cut in the amount of income tax they pay. It means that someone earning £300,000 is going to receive a £10,000 tax cut, which is certainly a departure from the approach we've seen from previous governments. In terms of what those taxpayers are going to do with that money, well, they'll clearly have the option to invest it if they want. I suspect that the government, more than anything, wants them to go out and spend it in the economy. Now, the danger, of course, there is if you're increasing people's spending power, that you are going to add to inflationary pressures and make what is already quite a difficult position when it comes to inflation. We've got inflation running at 9.9%, I think, at the moment. The danger is that that's just going to stoke yet more inflation. I think in terms of some of the things that those kind of clients are going to be thinking about, so the things that additional rate taxpayers might be thinking about, I think one of the key areas of focus, I suspect, for advisors and for those clients will be around making the most of the pension tax relief that they have available while it's still there. Now, clearly, reducing the amount of income tax you pay for those people will be seen as a benefit, and they'll get to keep more of their own money. But of course, in reducing the top rate of tax from 45% to 40%, it means that the tax relief that those people get on pension contributions will also be reduced from 45% to 40%. So there's going to be a year window between now and, between now and April next year, when this the cut in the top rate of tax comes in, where those very high earners will be able to keep getting 45% tax relief before it's reduced. So I suspect for lots of advisors and clients in that position, the focus now will be looking at how to maximize pension contributions before that incentive reduces.
Yeah, thank you. And lastly, I'd just like to touch on pensions, actually. So I just wanted to ask you what this will mean for pensions. That they've also announced was, that which we mentioned at the start of the show, that plans to accelerate reform of the pension charge cap have been accelerated. And those sort of discussions are ongoing between between the Treasury and the industry, really. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that and what that will mean going forward.
So on the pension charge cap announcement, personally, I'm not convinced that will make a huge difference to the way that pension schemes invest on a fundamental basis. So the focus there is on pension schemes that are covered by the 0.75% charge cap on default funds. Now, right. Most of those pension schemes, all of those pension schemes will have trustees in place who have a fiduciary duty to invest members' money in a way that maximises the returns that they get on that money and maximise the retirement incomes that those members should ultimately get from their defined contribution pensions. And so I'm not convinced that many schemes, given all that, will really be tempted to go down the road of spending huge amounts of members' money on illiquid assets and investing in infrastructure and all the rest of it, when the cost of that investment potentially is going to be over the charge cap. Now, right. Clearly, when you're investing, it's not just about cost. It's about the value that you get from that investment. And if trustees are genuinely convinced that some higher risk, more illiquid investments that include performance fees are going to deliver better outcomes for members, then they may go down that route. But I suspect the majority of trustees will need some serious convincing to go for an investment that's outside the charge cap, because clearly if that investment doesn't deliver performance, then the fees that are associated with those investments are potentially going to be high, and it's and ultimately it's members' money that they're looking after. So we'll see. I think it's a case of the government throwing as much as they possibly can at delivering growth and investment in infrastructure and all the rest of it, and hoping for the best. And this is just one tool that they're pushing forward with.
Thank you. That's really interesting. All right, Tom, I think we're going to leave it there for today. Thank you so much for joining us on a very hectic day. That's been the Advice Show for this week. We'll see you again next week.
This CityWire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies, from healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution. Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.